Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I did tell you about this. I told you, cleared up that misconception. No, indeed, I am not doing Hyrox. Hyrox is actually, I know people often think that I would, but I'm not. And either way, we wanted to talk about it because it's happening over this weekend. And joining us in a studio are three participants, apparently at varying levels, capability. Not one farmer here, but that aside, we're going to be talking to Julian, Daryl, and Anton, all of them competing over the weekend, as we will hear. A very good morning, everybody. Thank you for taking time off from your tapering.
Morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I was worried that the couple of step flights up would interfere with your tapering. It doesn't, right?
We did a few push-ups now.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay, fine. Because the one thing I definitely like about these competitions is the tapering aspect. Julian, can we just start with you? Because apparently you're the expert on this. What is Hyrox? Because, I mean, I can tell you our listeners are thinking, what on earth is this guy going on about? What is Hyrox? Where did it come from?
Sure. So the Hyrox is basically a hybrid race of functional movements and aerobic capacity or cardio. Mm-hmm. So it's you doing a station of functional movement and then you're doing a 1 kilometer run and then a functional movement and 1 kilometer run. So you've got 8 stations with a 1 kilometer run in between. So this originated in Germany, I think it was, and then they built a brand from there.
And what does Hyrox, because we've had lots of arguments about this, what does Hyrox, where does the name come from?
Hybrid Rockstar.
So it really is Hybrid Rockstar. When somebody told me that, I thought, nah, they're pulling my leg. They just want me to say that on radio. But so it really is Hybrid Rockstar.
Yeah.
Okay, and it started in Germany.
Yes.
It's huge, I know, in South Africa. How does it look around the world?
It's massive around the world. I mean, the sales sell out within minutes. So the minutes they release the dates for various races around the world, they are sold out within minutes.
It's unreal. Yeah. And you need a massive amount of equipment, because you'll take us through what it is. You need a massive, I mean, the organizing around this, I love logistics. So I just keep trying to figure this out, how many, you know, how much equipment they need, how they manage, who starts when, to make sure that people aren't stop, you know, waiting behind other people, because that would make it impossible, because it's a time trial. It's really fascinating.
Yeah, it's a lot of work goes into it. I mean, you've got to give the guys good kudos,
yeah,
you know, leading up to it. It's a lot of work, especially in an indoor arena, so they're limited by space and area. So they're doing a good job in managing no bottlenecks and the waves that they're going off. There's obviously always admin issues,
of
but
course.
They're getting it together.
And how long has it been in South Africa?
I think we're going on 3 or 4 years now.
Oh, so it's still relatively new then.
It's very new in SA.
Wow. And how many people are competing over the weekend?
There are, if I'm not mistaken, about 2,000 teams of two. That includes the male-male pairs, female-female pairs, and then mixed pairs. And right. Then there's about 800 solo male athletes and about 600 female solo athletes.
I think the soloists are showing off, though, don't they?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just can't find any friends.
They've got no bros. That's the problem with them. Okay, so, Daryl, you've done this before, am I right?
I have. Third time.
Your third, yeah. Right. And you've picked up Anton now on the third time along the way. Does that mean that nobody else would compete with you?
Third time lucky.
No, I had a partner and unfortunately couldn't make it. So,
right.
So Anton was keen and right. Reached out to Anton and he said, absolutely, let's go.
Anton, like, why?
So I actually went to go and watch it last year in November, and it's like caffeine. You get extremely hooked to it. It's great. Right. I mean, this functional movement. You know, I do a lot of running, and running gets boring. You do the same route, the same thing. And to do this adaptive mechanism where you're running, where you're doing skiing, where you're doing different movements of your shoulders, of your legs, and you're actually challenging yourself, it's unbelievable.
I mean, something that Julian mentioned was functional. That's obviously what differentiates it in a way from a lot of other exercise regimes, right? Has it been hard to train?
So initially, when I did my first simulation, I almost passed out. It is quite hard training. It's very difficult to make that switch from plain running to different functional exercises using different muscle groups. But the training's been absolutely awesome. It's fun, it's exciting, and it's exhilarating.
Right. And Daryl, what do you find the biggest? In fact, no. Daryl, take us through the different things you have to do.
Okay. So obviously you start off with a run. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to speak specifically to what we're going to be doing.
Right. But what does that mean, what we're going to be doing? So does that mean there's partners. Different?
No. So they are. So obviously, as Julian indicated, there's solos.
Oh, do they have a different regime?
Yeah. So there's what they call the open, and then there's the professionals.
Okay, got it.
So
understand.
The weights are different for the women as well. There's different weights as well. So, you know, the one that we're going to be doing is the open doubles.
Okay.
And what we start off with is it all starts off with a 1K run,
mm-hmm.
and then from there we move on to the ski erg.
Right.
And then we go for another 1K run. And then we move on to the sled push, which is 50 meters of and that weight is about 102 kilograms.
Right.
The ski erg is 1,000 meters. So and obviously in doubles, you're sharing.
So how long should each of these segments take you? Obviously, it varies, but...
It varies.
But is it 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, 20? Like
It all depends because, you know, it depends on your level of fitness.
I swear to you, it's like talking to the ANC here. Yeah.
And again, it's just how your strategy is. I mean, right. If you've got to do 1,000 meters, as pointless your partner doing 500 and you doing 500 and you go for the run. So rather split it up into smaller bite sizes.
So what does that mean?
Levels of recovery, exactly.
That you keep switching out.
Yeah, exactly.
So oh, I didn't realize. Okay,
so you're having a rest between. So while your partner's working, you resting, and then you're working, he's resting, and so forth. Because in a sense, you've got to recover on the run. That's what I understand.
So do you go into this knowing, let's say with skiing, that you're going to do 50 meters as you go? Or does Anton say, okay, I'm calling out, and then you step in?
Yeah, well, you kind of work out your strategy beforehand.
Right, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, so you kind of work out. So on the ski erg, it will be 150, I'll do 150, then Anton does 150. We do it in bite sizes to reach the threshold of 1,000 meters.
Right.
And then we're off.
I've got no concept of how of 1,000 meters of ski. Is it tough?
Yeah, listen, it's tough because you've got a lot of sort of adrenaline going there. You're quite excited. There's a lot of people cheering around you. There's other guys next to you who are just gunning it. They literally are skiing and they're going very quickly. So you've got to control yourself so that you actually are quite moderate, so you don't blow out in your first exercise there. But it is tough.
Julian, what have you seen people sort of, especially maybe somebody like Anton who's going into this for the first time, where do people often struggle?
A lot of the time, you know, the newbies will go out, they'll come out of the blocks hot. So they'll blow in that first K or that first station, which
sounds
is
a bit
ski
like Anton, actually.
Yeah, exactly. So we had to kind of rein them in.
That's what I'm worried about.
I was just going to say, your job actually is going to be to just and it's
I was just going to run like a gazelle.
Okay, I find that hard to picture, but all right.
He's got some new pink shoes, so he's good to
okay,
go.
Okay, fine.
Well,
right.
They look pink, but they're actually orange. But anyway, we'll go there.
I definitely won't miss him.
But yeah, the biggest thing is maintaining your pacing. So in the simulations, like Anton's done the simulation before, you get an idea of how long this race is. You're looking at, you're training anywhere between an hour and an hour and a half, or you're racing an hour and a half, so you need to manage your expectations. So if you go out too hot, you're going to be cooked by the time you get halfway. So you've got to manage your pacing.
Talk to me about the difference in timing And I realize, as you've said, that there might be different weights, but the professionals versus the I don't know what you'd call it, the open, you know, the
sure.
open.
So I mean, basically, it's a lot of it is a running race. So right. you've got 8x1 kilometer intervals. Most of the pros and the winners are coming in somewhere between, let's call it 3.5 to 4 minutes per K. That's their pacing.
Yo.
Whereas us average Joes are going to be somewhere between 4.5 and 6 minutes.
Yeah, that sounds average, hey? Is that like average? Fine, 4.5, fine. Yeah.
So and that's where a lot of the time is made up or lost in
right.
the run, but then also, again, the newbies getting caught up in the rock zone, that area that's just outside the stations. So they walk a lot or take in a bit of fluids at the water stations and stuff. So you can make up time on right. strategies and kind of coming in with a good plan.
Yes. So your winning teams would come in at what?
About 55 minutes.
Wow. Okay. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah,
did you hear that, Anton?
55 minutes. Is that the aspiration?
That's our benchmark.
Right, yeah. Right. This is why he's going to be exhausted after the first kilometer. And how much time, when do you, you know, it's in a way, it's quite interesting because it's not that long an event. It's obviously very intense for a relatively short time if you compare it to a marathon, a comrades, a triathlon. It's a relatively short period of time. Do you need hydration and nutrition in terms of energy during this time?
So you do. I mean, you actually need to pre-hydrate very well before you go into the thing, and obviously have your carbs the night before. But even when you're running, I mean, depends what you use, whether you use a goo or other amino acids. You've got to hydrate yourself and keep yourself going because you will burn out halfway if you don't.
Do you warm up first?
Of course, yeah.
He says of course.
You have to avoid injuries.
Yeah, what do you do?
So you do a mini simulation of
that. A mini simulation.
Oh, do you? Yeah, oh, you go through, in other words, to warm up each of
the muscle groups.
Each of those.
Yeah. In fact, we're going to run to Nasrec as part of our warm-up.
You know, I'm not sure that I'd put it past you. Daryl, what is the part that you have struggled with in the past, or not struggled with, maybe, because maybe you haven't, hopefully you're not, but the part that you found the most challenging?
Getting the right partner.
Well, clearly, because he's on his third now. No, it's not getting the right partner, it's keeping the right partner.
So I think the running component. I think the running...
That's quite interesting, you know, because for Anton, that's going
to
be
his So I've really had
strength.
To focus on my running.
Right.
And really get up to a good pace and keep myself, going.
Yes.
Because what I find with the functional movements, I just tend to... I don't stop. So if I'm doing the sled push, I just push. I just go. I just want to go.
And what are the rules in terms of, can you do the whole sled push and let Anton have a break, or does he have to do some of it?
No. So, I mean, it's your strategy. I mean, if you feel that, if your partner's feeling a little bit out of sorts and needs a little bit of recovery, well, then you just, you obviously speak to each other and say, right, can you do this for me?
Do a bit more
burpees for me? Or,
oh, gosh, there's burpees. I keep forgetting.
I know. I haven't gone through the whole list.
I know, because I interrupted you. I got very excited about something. Okay, so then there's burpees, because I also want to get to the farmers that you carry. So,
yeah, there's lots of farmers that we carry. So.
Right, so there's burpees. And what is it? But it's not, it's obviously a...
It's a broad jump.
Broad jump. Right.
Okay. And it's 80
like
meters.
Hell.
So, and they're very strict. They love to penalize you. So there's judges watching you all the time. You don't do the movement properly. It's a no rep.
Well, I actually watched a video of that, and it was very anxiety provoking, and I'm not even doing it. I got very, very anxious. Are they very strict?
They're very strict.
Right.
They're very strict. And, as far as the running is concerned, Anton can't run ahead of me. I can't run ahead of him.
Oh, it's that's interesting.
We've got to be within, what's that? About 5 seconds from each other.
Wow.
So if he's 10 seconds ahead of me, penalized.
Right.
It's a warning, isn't it? Or is it a penalty?
I think it's a straight penalty.
What does a straight penalty mean?
Time. Yeah. So they'll add the whole way through the course, instead of kind of giving you a red flag, what they do is they just hit a button and it gets added to your time. So depending on what penalty you get awarded, that time will be added to your final at the end.
And do most pairs or do a decent percentage of pairs have time added?
I don't know what the percentage is, but it does happen quite often.
I'm sure. Look, especially for the professionals, that really it does make a massive difference.
Us, yeah.
Like you. I meant that. Obviously. Okay, so then you've got this burpees, you've got skiing, you've got sled.
You've got a sled push.
And pull.
And you've got a sled pull.
Which sounds like hell. I suppose everything sounds like hell.
Then,
yeah.
Then you're rowing, and then you're doing your farmer's carry.
Right. And what is that?
So your farmer's carry, you're carrying 24 kilograms, 224 kilograms.
Right.
And what's the distance? I think it's 200 meter distance.
Right.
So again, you've got to share the weight. You know, some guys, they're pretty strong in the farmer's carry, and they just literally do a few laps.
Right.
Well,
Sorry, Anton, I've got a question before we carry. I'll come back to you in 1 second. Anton, please can you ask Anton if he's doing Hyrox without a shirt, like all like the videos?
So we were doing that. We actually had like planned to wear no shirts, but now they've added a new rule in that you get a penalty for no shirt.
Oh, isn't it
so
worth
that's
it?
That's the only reason why we're not wearing shirts.
Right.
I mean, that's, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you go back to where you were? Yeah.
It's a good question, though. and then you got your 100-meter sandbag lunges.
Right.
And then you end off with your wall balls.
So and those sandbags, how many?
It's 20 kilograms. 20 kilograms for the open and then 30 kilograms for the professionals.
Right. Okay.
So the weights vary between open and professionals.
Incredible. So, and thousands of people choose to do this.
Thousands of people do it, yeah.
Amazing, and in terms of the spectators, people can come and watch if they choose to.
People come and watch, and the gees is good.
I would imagine
everyone's, even though they don't know you, everyone's cheering. You know, it's quite amazing.
Well, what's quite interesting is you're not actually, obviously you're competing against other people, but you're actually not, because you've got no sense, I would imagine, of how other people are doing in order.
Well, we're competing against Julian.
Well, obviously, because you're the professional. So Julian, how many times have you? Well, this is like the third or so. Have you done it every time here?
Yeah, this is my third as well.
And what is your time?
We've been 116, 114. We're going to try go for sub 110.
Wow, amazing! And you too.
What are we aiming for?
Yes.
To survive.
You see, I'm not letting you answer because you're never going to give me an answer.
To beat Julian.
So we're going to try and beat Julian, but we have to trip him to do that. But we've got our plan worked out. We've got a good strategy for that.
So what is a realistic?
We're going
ask it seriously.
Like
what is
sub
a realistic?
125, but we're hopefully going to get better than that. But that's our goal.
Amazing. Absolutely incredible. How are you feeling about it?
Excited.
Very excited, yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
well, I wish. Well, just one or two comments. I see. Oh, so it's not a rock hyrax, which is the common name for the dassie, which is a rodent-like creature which is most closely related to the elephant. So no, it absolutely is not. And Bendita says, my son participated in Hyrox in Cape Town earlier in the year, said it was the most fantastic challenge. The training is so good for people. It is really, really great. Really amazing. And Henry says, I could do this in my sleep, and I normally do. So thank you for that, Henry, being very, very sensible, as always. This is the thing, is we get a very, very high standard of questions and comments. And then one more question. Does challah count as carbo loading? this is the standard. This is what we deal with. But okay, I guess it's not an unreasonable question. Does challah count as carbo loading?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, you smack a little bit of butter and honey and all the rest on
it. Yeah, the answer's no. Absolutely not.